When you think about it, the devil's fooled day because Jesus rose from the dead and made Satan look like a buffoon. But this Easter is a rare one because it actually coincides with April Fool's Day. And that's even better because we know that the joke is on the devil. Because he, you know, he lost. But you know what? Have you ever thought about this? Let me ask you a question. What is the first thing Jesus did after he rose from the dead? You ever thought about what's the first thing he did when he rose from the dead? He jumped out of the tomb and went, ta-da! No. Boy, you guys, I need to... This is celebration. It's fun. Maybe I need to back up. Start over. Now, it's great to have you here this morning. You know, this week I was reading an article, and the article asked the question, what is the most important thing that you know? If somebody were to ask you, what is the most important thing that you know, how would you answer them? What would you say? And I thought about it, and I thought to myself, really, of all the knowledge that I have in the couple of classes I went to in high school, that I didn't gain a lot from not being in school, but of all the knowledge and everything over the years that I think I know, I think the most important thing that I know, I would have to say, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think that's the most important thing and the most important truth of the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, he made a statement, he said, for I delivered to you first of all, in other words, what is important, he said, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And in verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, and if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. That Scripture is 100% right. If Christ has not been risen from the dead, if he had not risen from the dead, then our faith, everything we're doing today, would be completely useless. Listen, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, everything that we do in the Christian life, God, living the Christian way, reading the Bible, gathering together for church, all of the things that we do are completely useless. It would all be a lie. Our hope for eternity would be nothing. But on the flip side, if everything Jesus said was true, and we believe that it is, then all of humanity has to face the facts that one day, in the future, we don't know when, we will all, as a human race, every single person individually face to face, we will have to stand before this person, Jesus Christ, not as a Savior, but we're going to have to stand before Him as judge to give an account for the decision. And here's what's interesting. We're going to have to give an account for the decision to embrace the truth about the resurrection and Jesus Christ Himself, whether we believe that truth or not. That is going to be the big question that all of us will be faced with. I heard it said before that as we see the history of mankind, not just from a biblical view, but from an overall historical worldview, that it resembles what has been said, a cosmic chess match between good and evil, between God and the devil. It's like watching a wrestling match with its series of moves and counter moves to determine the destiny of mankind. We see this truth taught throughout the entirety of the Bible. God makes a move. Satan counters with his deception and his lies. In the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, we see this. But in this, we must remember that it's not a battle between equal forces because God is creator and he is all-powerful and Satan is the created being and he only works through deception and lies. And God has already spoken about Satan's defeat in the book of Genesis. He told us that when that sin happened, that God was going to smash his head with the seed of the woman. That's a prophetic scripture about the birth of Jesus Christ and coming to this world. But the truth has never stopped the devil from trying to destroy God's plan and his children, because when you live a lie, you believe your own lies. I want you to think about this. When you are so deceived that you believe your own lie, you think what you're believing is the truth. And to you, it is the truth. We could take a person who believes that what they're actually embracing is the truth, even though we can think that it is a lie, we can give them a lie detector test, and they will pass the lie detector test because what they believe is the truth to them. Satan is so deceived in himself that he thinks that he still can win. But he can't, and we know why, and we're going to see that. Satan has always believed that he could win. In the midst of the spiritual wrestling match of humanity, God himself enters into history, into the person of Jesus Christ. Satan sees this, waits for the opportune moment to countermove, and he finds this opportunity with Jesus while he is physically weak after fasting. In the midst of this fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, Satan tempts Jesus with power and with pleasure, and tries to stop God's mission in the life of Jesus. Jesus refuses, doesn't fall for his tricks, continues his pathway in his mission. But even though Jesus refuses, this doesn't stop the devil. He aims to deliver a definitive blow. He has to kill Jesus. He believes that if he can kill Jesus, that will stop God's plan. So one Friday, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified. Here in just a few moments, we're going to do a live skit to a video that shows this struggle and what happened on the cross, what really happened for you and I. Because we're going to see God gets the last word. He always has the last move in this eternal wrestling match for the souls of humanity. The devil thought he had killed Jesus and destroyed God's plan, but April Fool's Day on the devil. The tomb was empty, and Jesus was alive. The devil thought he had killed him, but he did not. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 a very interesting thing. Because don't you think, I think about it all the time, I think, you know, the devil's been around for thousands of years, thousands upon thousands of years, and he was there in the beginning in the sin, and all these bad things that happened. I always thought to myself, you mean to tell me that he didn't really know what the plan of God was? That he didn't know? See, we have to understand, he is so deceived, he can't understand truth. You and I can understand truth when we open our heart up to it, but he cannot. So here's what the Apostle Paul said about it. He said, the rulers of this age did not even know the mystery of the cross and its power, or they would not have crucified Jesus. In other words, they didn't know what the effect was going to have on all of humanity by crucifying just this one guy. We're going to see through this skit in just a second what that really looks like. See, for us today in the year 2018, it's easy for us to view the resurrection as history, as an event that happened over 2,000 years ago, because we're not watching it on CNN or Fox News or our Facebook page or our Instagram. We didn't see this go on in our community. So we look at this as the past. But we have to understand the resurrection is more than just some historical event in Christian history. This event is the most powerful event that changed all of humanity, that gives us, you and me, the power for victorious living right now, right this minute, today. So let's take a look and see what I mean. Better than a visual to see what God did for us. People look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and all they see is Jesus, but the Bible tells us Jesus, what he did for us. He was our substitute in everything, even in the cross, even in death, even in the resurrection itself. Jesus did it for us. See, the real joke in this is on the devil. He thought it was over, but you and I know the rest of the story. Jesus comes from the dead. Although Satan now is defeated on the cross, he still hopes to take us down with him. He wants to destroy our faith. The Bible tells us that he is like a roaring lion. And we're supposed to watch out for this great enemy because he walks around seeking whom he may devour. So what does that really mean for us? See, I want to talk to you for just 10 minutes here, the next 10 minutes or so, about why the importance is for us after we embrace the truth of the substitution of Jesus Christ. Why it is so important for us to understand some basic truths in the visual of what you see here. See, what did Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection accomplish for us, for you, and for me? Why is Christianity in this way that we believe from a biblical point of view, why is it so important for you and I to understand this? For the rest of our life to understand the purpose of what Jesus Christ did. Number one, if you have a handout there and you like filling in the blanks, there are some in there for you. What did Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection accomplish for us? Number one, it proves that God loves us. Proof of God's love. How many of you today have told your children, your wife, somebody around you that I love you? If you haven't, look at them this morning and just tell them, say, I want you to know I love you. See, but now here's what's important. Our words are not the only evidence of the love that you have for your family. We understand love through action. We understand love through action. God isn't just talk. Right? God isn't just talk. God is not just about the words that were written in the book. He demonstrated it. He said the real demonstration of God's love for us came at the cross when God laid everything on the line to show his love for us. The scripture we put on the screen during that drama, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated, everybody say demonstrated. Demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died on a cross. He died for us. See, everything Jesus did, he did as us, for us, in us, and through us. So it's hard for us to understand this. From a natural point of view, we can't imagine that 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross, that you were the one on the cross. But God saw us there. God saw all of mankind. One event paid the price for every single person. See, this truth is the reason why Jesus was not just some historical figure of the past. He is still changing lives in the present and will do so in the future for every single person who is willing to embrace the truth that Jesus was our substitute on the cross. To anybody who embraces that truth, God changes the very nature of their being. But Satan wants to draw us away from this truth and the reality of God's love. It's the oldest trick, getting human beings to doubt the truth that God loves them. I don't know about you, but I think we all go through life and there are times that we doubt whether or not God loves us. But that's the fundamental truth that holds all of this together. The second thing that we see in the crucifixion and the resurrection and the death is that the proof that we're forgiven, that we are forgiven. See, I like what Pastor Tony Evans says, and I think it's an awesome statement, and he said this. He goes, in describing what Jesus Christ did, he says, when we go shopping for something, we must pay for it, and when we pay it, we get a receipt. The receipt validates our purchase. If there is ever a question about the item, the receipt proves that payment was made. Christ's resurrection serves as a sort of receipt from God to prove that our sins are forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
His resurrection is proof of every single thing that he ever said. Christ's resurrection is the receipt that our sins are forgiven. When we confess our sin and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our lives, we are forgiven, and the Bible says that we get born again. That means we get a new nature. Religion can't give you a new nature. Being good can't change your inside. It can only change your outside. Obeying what the law says can only change your outside. It can't give you a new spirit. You can't. God is the only one who can give life. He's the one who gave that to us. See, it says in Romans 4:25, it says, he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection is God's proof that Christ's sacrifice was sufficient payment for our sins. And the resurrection is proof that Jesus Christ is not just some religious leader, but he was actually God in human flesh. No other person has ever come back from the dead. The last time I went to the cemetery, people were still there. I didn't see any open graves. Have you? No. Jesus is the only one who has the power to raise people from the dead. Number three, those events prove, they're proof our relationship with God is restored. See, and this is the one thing that has always shocked me. Honestly, it's a shocker to me when you go through and tell people what God has really done for them and tell them the whole story, and then you get to that point and you ask them, wouldn't you like to have your relationship with God restored so that it's like you and God are best buds again, and all you have to do is embrace Jesus Christ, and then they won't do it. I honestly don't get it. How would you, as a created being, not want to have the best relationship with the person who created you? Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense, but when do people ever make sense? Right? When has mankind ever been trusted to do anything right without help? God in our lives is the only hope we have. John chapter 1, 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but the will of man, but of God. So that means when you receive Jesus Christ as your substitute, God changes you. You are born a new person. You become children of God. Here's a surprise for a lot of people. You'll hear this statement all the time. People will say, you know, they'll look at everybody and they'll go, look, it's all God's children. No, it's not true. God's children are the ones who receive and believe Jesus Christ. Other people that do not accept that truth, they're not God's children. They're created by God. They're created in His image, as the Bible says. But the only way you become a child of God is right here what it says, by receiving Him as your substitute on the cross. Believing that. If you don't believe that, you're not a child of God. You're not a child of God. Get that. People around you that you have friends that think they're children of God, they're not children of God. We have to make that decision. And when that happens, the reason we become children of God is because we're born inside. God changes our spirit. When we put our trust in Jesus as our substitute, we become a child of God. This is what's awesome, with full rights and privileges, just like Jesus Christ. The same privileges that Jesus has before God is the same ones that we have. And that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. How many ever heard that? Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Because He's the firstborn of an entirely new species of being. That doesn't mean He's physically not God. He is God. But He's the first one that came from the dead. And now it starts a whole new creation of people that have a different spirit than everyone else. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one," everybody say one, "one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Jesus' one sacrifice on the cross has changed all of eternity for everybody. He, you know what? Jesus is not going back to the cross. He did it one time. That's it. And it covers all of us from beginning of time until the end. God's done it for us all. Number four, what does the resurrection prove? It proves that Satan is defeated and the victory is ours. He did it for us. Romans 8:37, it says, "In all these things we have complete victory through Him who loved us." Last things I want to tell you is this. The only power that Satan has now over us is what we give him. What we give him. By our lack of knowledge, by us not doing things God's way, it's our decision that we open the door for his effects into our world. God gave us everything. The devil knows he's defeated. He was crushed at the cross in the empty tomb of Christ. We have to understand that our enemy needs our cooperation to sustain any attack. So you and I need to embrace these things, that God loves you, that God has forgiven you, that your relationship has been restored. And yes, there are going to be times. There are going to be times that we're going to be tempted. There are always temptations to do something wrong. But Jesus endured all the temptation for us, and it says that He came out like flying colors and He never sinned. He became you. He became me on the cross. Satan doesn't have a counter move. It's over. It's done. There's no more wrestling match. The devil got pinned. Finished. Now all that's left is our future. One day the Bible tells us that He is going to be the key and the devil are all going to be locked away for eternity. We're never going to have to deal with sickness anymore. We're never going to have to deal with evil and darkness and pain. How many of you have ever been sick in here? How many of you just love it? You're going home today and you just go, "Man, I really look forward to being sick." See, that's the upside down nature of the world we live in right now. We have to fight that all the time. Wouldn't it be wonderful when we can not have to worry about that? How many of you enjoy being tired? That's not going to happen either. You won't be tired anymore. No more weakness. You're going to be able to experience life the way God intended us to, with before the fall, before all the bad things happen. God's going to restore it. There's a day the Bible says that God is going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. The resurrection is a constant reflection of the future. that Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's not dead. I don't worship somebody that's dead. We sing to Him every Sunday, every week, in the mornings when you wake up and you worship God. Why? Because He's alive. He's alive. I don't know every person in here this morning. I want to get to know all of you, some of you that I know better than others, but I want to ask you a question today. This is more important than anything else, because, yeah, we have a billion years. The Bible said that we're not going to die. You may physically leave your body, but you're not dying. The question is, where are you going to go when you leave your body? Your future is determined by your decisions in the present. If you're here this morning and you can't just say with 100% confidence, you know what, Pastor, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen. You know what? Don't be ashamed to admit you're not sure. That's the best place to be in so you can get the answer. And it's not complicated. It isn't about, I'm not a good person. Well, guess what? You don't have to be, thank God. Because that's why Jesus did what He did. Because if I would have had to have been a good person, I would have never made it. None of us would, right? So if you're here today and you do not know for sure what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen if you were to leave the earth today, you don't know, you need to know. You need to know. And if we can, let's just stand for a moment. And that way you completely hear what I'm saying. So I just want to go over this, invite you very quickly in one decision. One decision. And I don't want anybody to close your eyes because it doesn't matter. This is what I want to ask. If you're here today and you're not sure, you're just not sure, it's okay. I want you to lift your hand because many of us have been in that same place. Anybody here, if you're not sure, you don't know what's going to happen. If you were to leave the earth today, you don't know for sure if you're going to go be with God or not. You're not sure, it's okay. Raise your hand right now. Because this is your moment. I want to make sure. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Anybody else? 4 back there. It's okay, raise your hand because I remember the same thing happened to me. I'm sitting in a church service just like this, and the guy up there said one thing. He didn't let me sit there. He said, okay, if you've done that and you don't know for sure what's going, you got to come out and come all the way up front. Oh, my God. I was a little guy. But I just said, okay. And it felt like I was walking 100 yards. And I think the building was maybe 20 feet, you know. But I thought I was having to go 100 yards, but let me tell you something. That was the best walk I ever made. That was the best walk that I ever made. So you here this morning, if we can, I want us all just to bow our heads today. Maybe you just couldn't raise your hand, but you know that you're not sure. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer today. And you know, the prayer is not a magic formula. It's what truth that you're confessing to God, the truth. So let's just pray this. We can all pray out loud together with me this morning. Just say, Father, I come to you now, and I admit that I need you. I won't make it without you. I believe this morning that Jesus Christ was my substitute. In His death, in His burial, and even in His resurrection. I thank you today that I don't have to put my trust in my own good deeds, but I'm going to put my trust in what Jesus has done for me. I thank you, God, that I am a new person. I have a new spirit. I'm born again. I'm not like I was. I'm new. I'm changed. Tomorrow's different, and I have a great future. And whenever the devil reminds me of my past, I'm going to remind him of his future. In Jesus' name, Amen.